I'd like to start by introducing myself. My name is Ashley Palmer, and I'm a research associate at the Urban Institute. I'm also currently a doctoral student at George Washington University, and I'm studying public policy, and my focus is really on the Medicaid program and more efficient delivery of healthcare for people, so more of a delivery perspective. What I'm presenting today are the results of an evaluation that we did on the Family Health and Birth Center, which is a birth center here in the district, looking at their health outcomes, and then on top of that, looking at the cost effectiveness associated with those health outcomes. And one of my co-authors, Embry Howell, is here in the audience today. My other co-authors were Sarah Benatar and Bowen Garrett, who were not able to be here today. And I have no personal financial relationships to disclose. Okay, so I start out by talking a bit about my research questions. The questions that I really want to answer for you today are birth centers a cost-effective alternative to traditional maternity care, and what elements of that care are the most cost-effective and the most reliable in terms of measurement? The reason why this is important is because Medicaid pays for more than 4 in 10 births nationwide. They're a huge payer for Medicaid, for maternity care. And so to the extent that we're interested in sort of bending the cost curve or reining in healthcare expenditures, this is a really important thing to look at, is how can we deliver maternity care more efficiently? Maternity care, as Ken and Betty kind of spoke to in their presentation earlier, has suffered particularly since the mid-1960s from a number of different factors, including an increased use of technology in maternity care, increasing cesarean section rates. In 2008, 32% of deliveries were done by cesarean. So where Ken and Betty had said that 10 to 15% is sort of the ideal rate, you can see that we're way above that for the Medicaid population. And that leads to increasing late preterm and early term birth rates, which leads to an increased infant mortality. So one way to solve this problem is by using more midwives. Birth centers are typically managed by midwives, and the midwifery model of care really focuses on enhanced prenatal and social support, more education for the expectant mother. It's much less prevalent in the U.S. than it is in other countries, which may be one reason why we're seeing differences in our country versus other countries in terms of cesarean rates. And currently there are 2008, there were 217 freestanding birth centers in the United States. That number is increasing. I believe currently the number is 240, so steadily increasing. And in 2008, also 30 out of 44 states which responded to a survey said that they covered birth center deliveries. Now that's going to change under the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, which is going to assure that all of those states receive reimbursement from Medicaid. So in order to answer this question, we ask ourselves two questions. The first question is, what are the differences in health outcomes of birth centers compared to more usual care? And the second question is, what are the associated costs with those outcomes? As I said, the Family Health and Birth Center is a freestanding birth center here in Washington, D.C. And I don't know, it doesn't look like you can see my pointer. You can't see my pointer here. You see it's between wards 5, 6, and 7, which is a low-income area in Washington, D.C. And it was founded by Ruth Lubick, who I was hoping would be here today but wasn't able to make it. And she opened the birth center in 2000. And you can see that their location is sort of reflected in their client characteristics. It's largely a low-income population who's served by the birth center, with 63% of their patients having a family income under 200% of the federal poverty level, largely African-American population, and also largely publicly insured, particularly by Medicaid. Medicaid's a very large payer. And here's just some pictures to sort of put it all in context. This lower picture is a picture of Ruth Lubick, the founder, and Cynthia, who is the general manager. The Urban Institute also did a more qualitative study on the Family Health and Birth Center comparing to usual care here in the district in 2007 and 2008, and that study was published in 2009. And so I just wanted to include a slide here to give you a little bit of context in terms of how the Family Health and Birth Center's care is different from other types of care. And here I just I provide specific information about the safety net clinic, but the Urban Institute also looked at a hospital outpatient department and found very similar types of care there. But if you just look across the three bullet points, the first one is pertaining to prenatal care, and then delivery care and postnatal care. And you can see the Family Health and Birth Center, they really spend a lot more time with their patients in prenatal care, 30 minutes compared to 5 to 15 minutes. And a lot of the reason that they do that is because they have a really strong emphasis on empowering women, educating them about their pregnancies, dealing with any kind of social problems that they might be having. Again, I said this is a low-income population, so sometimes there may be other issues that they want to help the patient out with. And they do those 30-minute visits up until about 28 weeks, at which point they start doing two-hour group visits, which basically gives the patient the opportunity to meet another group of women who's going through similar pregnancy, is due at a similar time, and might be having some of the same sort of social issues. So it gives them a support network. Moving down, when we look at the delivery process for the Family Health and Birth Center compared to the safety net clinic, I just want to note that we're talking here about women who are actually delivered at the birth center. And at the birth center, they don't do any kind of medical interventions. So an alternative would be if a woman really wanted to have an epidural, for example, she could be delivered with the Family Health and Birth Center midwives at the hospital. So that is an option. But there's a very large difference in C-section rates and epidurals because of that different sort of philosophy. And then the third set of bullets relates to postpartum care. One really important difference is that, particularly when we're talking about cost-effectiveness, is that the women who give birth at the Family Health and Birth Center are discharged typically within 6 hours, but definitely within less than 24 hours. And the women who give birth in the safety net clinic or the hospital outpatient department typically stay for 2 to 3 days for a vaginal birth. So there are major cost implications to that. These are the people who were included in our study cohort. So I do want to point out less than 20% actually gave birth at the birth center. The majority of women decided to give birth at the hospital. A lot of women choose to do that because they're afraid of the pain, or they might be afraid that something will go wrong and they want to have the option of having that technology around in case they need it. And 20% also had a cesarean birth. We maintained these last two groups for risk. We think that that's one of the limitations of former studies. It's really hard to compare cesarean section rates, for example, when the birth center doesn't do cesareans, so you need to keep those people in so you can see how the prenatal care might be impacting that. This is basically just the introduction to our study, the basic methods that we used. We used birth certificate data provided to us by the district. So this was all women who gave birth in the district or who lived in the district, and it was matched to the Family Health and Birth Center's women, so we were able to identify those women. And it was for births between 2005 and 2008. So we had a fairly large sample. There were 875 women in our birth center sample. And again, we included in that birth center sample all women who had at least two prenatal care visits with the birth center. We also excluded anyone who was not a singleton pregnancy because the birth center only handles singleton pregnancies, and anyone with a gestational age below 24 weeks because the birth center didn't have anyone comparable in their group. One of the ways that we helped control for this problem of risk selection. The problem that the birth center tends to serve more low-risk women was by using a statistical method called propensity score analysis. This is very similar to regression analysis, but it has a little bit more statistical power. And what that enabled us to do is to match those 875 birth center women with, maybe match is the wrong word, but to create a cohort of 875 comparable women using all of the data that we had in the other cohort and sort of weighting it on these factors so that they looked exactly the same on any of these demographic or health risk variables. So when you looked at mother age distribution after the propensity score analysis, they're exactly the same for both cohorts. And the same is true for all of these other characteristics that we had. One of the limitations of propensity score analysis is obviously there are things that we can't measure, or the things that aren't captured on the birth center, on the birth certificate data. And so that lends to the question, well, what about those unobservable things? Are there differences between the two groups on these unobservables? So we use instrumental variables analysis to answer that question. And basically, I just included this slide because I wanted to show that the instrumental variables analysis confirmed that it was not due to, the differences that we saw were not due to unobservable characteristics. We actually saw a stronger effect due to the instrumental variable analysis. These are the health outcomes that we looked at. The important ones to note here are that the Family Health and Birth Center did reduce rates of cesarean delivery by about 10%. And a lot of the delivery outcomes, the other delivery outcomes here are sort of supportive of that. Different ways to look at cesarean delivery. The reason that we looked at the weekend delivery was as a proxy for induction. So we're assuming that if you're scheduling cesareans or inductions based on convenience, that you're not going to do it on the weekend, basically. And we did see that the Family Health and Birth Center was much more likely to deliver a baby on the weekend, so that they weren't doing that. Also, we saw a difference in preterm birth weight. We looked at the gestational age distribution by a couple of different ways, and the way that we have included it in the cost effectiveness analysis is just by looking at the difference in gestational age distribution for women who delivered at term, understanding that, wanting to be conservative, and also understanding that there may be some criticism about whether or not a birth center is actually able to impact preterm births. These are just the groups that we looked at. They're basically the same. We looked at vaginal and cesarean sections for both groups. Obviously, the Family Health and Birth Center has a slightly different group where they actually gave birth at the birth center. That doesn't happen with usual care. In order to estimate cost, we looked at the infant and mother facility fees and the physician and midwife costs. Now, this is our approach to cost estimation, and I actually have a handout which I had kind of put in the back, but I think it got moved around, and I'd be happy to share it with anyone who's interested afterward. It provides a little bit more detail, but just to give you sort of a high level, the first two I think are important because it's the physician versus the midwife cost is obviously a big difference between the birth center people and the usual care people. The usual care people tend to see a physician. The birth center people tend to see a midwife. Both of those cost estimates are based on published material or published guidelines. This third, let's see if I can point to it here. This third group here, those are the same for both groups. They're calculated the same. They're based on the same data. And obviously the birth center, which is the last two, that only pertains to the Family Health and Birth Center. One thing that's also important to note here is all of these are based on published estimates except for that last number, which is infant costs at the birth center, which we were not able to find a published national data source for. So we used the Family Health and Birth Center's payments, and not an average payment, but one of their higher payments that they're getting for that. This slide is also probably kind of hard to read, but I think what's important here is to look at the average total cost as we calculated it. It's about, and it's $1,163 cheaper for each birth in the birth center. And that's not just births that were taken place at the birth center. It was for each birth that was touched by the birth center. And another reason I thought it was useful to lay it out this way is if you just sort of want to compare, you can kind of see where the major cost savings are. But that's much easier to see in this slide, where I've actually calculated it out for you. So what I think is important here is to note these first two sources of cost savings are due to differences in health outcomes, which we got from our propensity score analysis, our instrumental variable analysis. They're based on the exact same cost figures. So I think that those two figures are extremely robust. Lower payments to midwives, that's going away in 2011, right? Under the ACA, now midwives will be paid the same as physicians. So going forward, that's not going to be a source of cost savings for Medicaid. And it's also very interesting to me that half of our cost savings, approximately, were for deliveries at the birth center. And I think that's really important because, you know, that's 20% of the cohort that's responsible for half the savings. So it just shows you the potential for using birth centers a little bit more. But it's also, I think the numbers are subject to a little bit more scrutiny because we didn't have that published estimate for infant costs. So basically, the thing that I think is an important takeaway here is that even a few visits seems to make an important difference in terms of cost and health outcomes, even a few visits to the birth center. And, you know, moving everyone into a birth center right away, it may not be a great, like, short-term solution to this problem because there's only 240 of them in the U.S., right? Like, but I think that this does show that our current, the way that we currently approach maternity care is not efficient, and it can be improved by the use of midwifery and also just, you know, midwifery culture and way of approaching the whole process. And that there's cost savings associated with that that are important and that seem to be getting more recognition in terms of, you know, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act is starting to recognize these things. So that's all I have, and I'll be happy to take questions at the end.